Welcome to the No Filter Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Ronnie Cook. Today, I have a very special guest. He is a very talented drone photographer and does some video with his drone. Please help me welcome Mr. Brian Gaskamp. Now, here's the interview. Three, I am here with Mr. Brian. How are you doing today, Mr. Brian?
I'm doing lovely. I'm off on holiday and don't go back to work till Tuesday.
Oh, that's awesome. Lucky you. I got to go back to work Monday.
I would have taken yesterday off, but I didn't have any vacation time left. So I said, well, what the heck? Might as well start the year on a good note and take vacation.
Right. So can you tell the audience a little more about yourself?
I don't really know what all to say. Born and raised in Brenham, been here all my life. I'll be 50. I got to add here real quick. I'll be 54 in March. I do all kinds of things. I've been a licensed ham radio operator since 1990. That was my first big hobby. I mean, it'll always be a hobby because I'll be a licensed ham operator till the day I die. It's always, you know, something I got interested in it actually through a teacher at Brenham High School. He was a ham operator, and for people who don't know what ham radio is, it's something where you can talk to people locally or you can talk to people all around the world with a antenna on the outside and a radio on the inside or whatever. That was, like I said, my big hobby when I first got started, and I've done a little bit of everything in that hobby. And when the line of communication such as cell phones go down, ham radio will always pull you through because it does not require, it can be operated on solar power, it can be operated on battery, things like that. So I got into that in 1990. I'm also an official quote unquote weather observer for the National Weather Service. I have a somewhat high tech rain gauge in my backyard. My screen went blank or whatever. I'm an unofficial weather observer for the National Weather Service. I have a somewhat high-tech rain gauge in my backyard. It records, it can hold up to 12 inches of rain at one time. And whenever we do get rain, I'll go out in the mornings and before I go to work and see how much rain we've had overnight. And they have an app. The program, I guess, that the National Weather Service created back in the late 90s was COCORAHS, COCORAHS, and it's basically you put in your latitude and longitude where you're located in Brenham and brings up a map, and then whenever you have rainfall, you report it on this with this app or whatever. For example, this morning I got up and went outside about 7:30 and to see how much rain I had, and I had to think if I had emptied my gauge from the last time. And then I was like, then I got to thinking, I said, man, did we have that much rain overnight? And well, anyway, make a long story short, since 7 a.m. yesterday morning, I had in my house, I had 2.6 inches of rain. So I recorded that on the thing, and the National Weather Service monitors this one website to where all of the members of this program enter their rain gauge. And so I do that, and I kind of do all kinds of little things. Do like to do a lot of DIY projects in my house, and big country music fan. I learn a lot of stuff off of YouTube, and years ago if we'd have had YouTube, man, we could have just been, YouTube is just fascinating to me. You know, anytime you're trying to do something or whatever, it's like, how do you do this or whatever? Just search for it on YouTube. Most time is there. And I like playing a lot of games on my iPhone. I'm a I play a game on my iPhone called Bejeweled Blitz, Angry Birds Friends. Me and my wife try to do when we have time or whatever. Try to go do a lot of camping or whatever. And I've been at my current job. I've been there. It'll be March 1st. I'll be there 28 years. My prior job, I worked at Bluebell from 1985 when I got out of high school, May of 85 till February 93, and then I went to the job I'm at currently, and I've been there ever since. So I always told myself I'm gonna switch. Bluebell was a good starter job, but then I could see the writing on the wall. You didn't have the A&M degree behind your name or whatever. So I said it's time to start looking, and I always told myself if I find a good job, I'm gonna stick with it. It might be good times, might be bad times, and but I'm gonna try to stick with it. And 28 years later, I'm still there.
Well, that's always good.
And let's see what else. My wife always calls me her geek squad because whenever she's got something, got something electronical or whatever, I try to figure things out. I mean, it's not really too hard. And let's see, if you've ever heard the term, Ronnie, I kind of look at myself as a jack of all trades.
Right.
I've messed with automobiles, and a friend of ours, she was a single mom, and last year she was having issues with her AC on her car, and did some research on why the AC wasn't cooling right, and come to find out when she was driving down a rock road, it knocked a sensor off of a connection, which was connected to the front of the radiator. And there was just bare wires there, and it was giving her a negative symbol on her display in her dashboard. And so I sealed all that off, and then I come to find out, I did some research. You come to find out there was an AC filter in her glove compartment. So I went and changed that out, and had a guy ask him if he would recharge her AC a little bit, because she had at the time she had like a 6-month-old baby, and it was summertime or whatever. She said it took her car forever to cool. So all in all, it took us, a few days or whatever, and got the sensor where it wasn't working, but we got it to where it made it weatherproof, and had a guy come over here and put some coolant in her AC thing. And it went from taking 30 minutes to cool her car down to 5 minutes.
Well, that's always good, and to help being able to help people out.
Yeah. And so, just there ain't much anything that I won't try to accomplish or whatever. Sometimes, do get a little frustrated trying to fix something or whatever. And I'll just take a breather and walk around and, maybe not mess with it a couple of days. And then you come back to it a few days later and boom, then it's like, all of a sudden the clouds cleared. It's like, now why did I see that from the start? But it's, I do. I'm, like I said, I'm, I consider myself a jack of all trades.
Well, that's good. So how did you get into drone to be able to fly a drone and, I guess you can say drone photography?
I think I saw an article or something on TV one time about drones, and it just kind of piqued my curiosity about what they were or what they did and what you could do with them. And there again, went to YouTube and started watching videos and reading a little bit about them. And I was like, that seems pretty interesting. And I consider a drone similar to a remote control airplane or whatever, because it is. It has a remote control on it. And everybody asks me, I'll say, well, you're pretty good at flying those. Did you ever have a remote control airplane? No, I never had one of those. But, I just, bought one and kind of watched YouTube videos, read up about it. And sometimes, sometimes with me, and I'm sure anybody else is the same way, it's more trial and error. I'd rather sit there and try to figure it out than read a book or watch something. And I'll never forget the first time when I actually launched my first drone. I was in my backyard and was just using my little iPhone. And I was like, it had the button there to slide to launch it. And I was like, okay, here we go. And it just, I slid the thing. It launched up. It was sitting at about 10 feet. And I just sat there and I was like, And trust me, I was nervous because I didn't have no clue what was fixing to happen. And, you know, well, kind of in a way I did, but yet again, I didn't. And so I just kind of messed with the controls and, you know, went up a little bit, went down. And I was like, hey, this is pretty interesting. So, you know, the very first time, or I should say after a few times of doing that, then I decided I was going to go somewhere where I had a little bit more open space, because the first time I launched, I was in my backyard. So went to the Cub football stadium practice field, and man, I thought I was in hot cotton. I got up to 190 feet, and I was like, holy cow. I was like, you know, and I'm just, you know, I'm still nervous or whatever, because I'm still, this is something new. And you know, then before long, 190 feet wasn't nothing. Before long, I was up at 400, and I was like, wow, you know. And so it just, you know, it, I just think they're fascinating. They're definitely the future, and so forth and so on. And that's, you know, kind of how I got into them, and I haven't turned back. I haven't looked back since.
Yeah. So what kind of drone do you use? And do you use the same one for the take pictures and those same, or do you use a different one to take pictures and just fly around?
No, I use the same one. I have what they call currently, it's the DJI, which is the manufacturer. They're based in China, but they do distribute them in the United States. It's a DJI Phantom 4 Advanced. There's actually, when that one was out, there was two models above mine in the Phantom line. The Phantom is a series, and I use that one for any of my pictures, any of my YouTube, any of my videos, which, you know, I do have a YouTube page under my name, and you know, just put stuff on there. And you know, I just, you know, something that's kind of significant, like a few years ago when Lake Somerville flooded, I went out to they had the roadblock there on 1948, and I could only get to Yeehaw, so I had to go completely around and come up the backside of Rocky Creek Park, and I went down there and walked down to the water and launched my drone, and I flew it all the way to the end of Rocky Creek, and just to see what it looked like, and because Rocky Creek is a little lower than Yeehaw Park. Rocky Creek Park is, you know, a little lower than Yeehaw Park, and put that on YouTube, and just, you know, I can get places most people can't, and it's just interesting what you can, you know, picture-wise, and, you know, you can get a whole different perspective picture-wise from above than ground level, and same way with videos, you know. I could sit there, you know, and just have it sitting on the ground, take a video. What fun would that be? You know, you want to get up in the air and, hey, what's going on over here that, you know, that most people can't see on ground level?
Yeah. How was that view when you flew it over Lake Somerville?
It was pretty neat because I had always seen that, you know, when the lake had flooded out or whatever, but just saw it from ground level. And, you know, that only leaves, you know, hey, what does the rest of it look like? So when I was up at probably about 200 foot, and I was flying, you know, pretty much launched from the south. I was flying north toward the end of Rocky Creek Park, and I was like, wow, you know, I mean, I just couldn't believe. I mean, the lake level is normally 238, and I think it was maybe 245, I'm not for sure. I was kind of shocked that the pavilion out there at Rocky Creek wasn't underwater. It was close, but it wasn't. But a lot of places we've camped out there were underwater. And, of course, 1948 in that area, it was underwater. The bridge there on 1948, it was underwater. You could actually see the post that holds the guardrails up. You could see them underwater. It was a lot of driftwood, you know, laying on the road that, you know, I mean, you could see with the eye, but from above, it looked totally different. You could see all the land that was south of the lake underwater and whatever else. So it was, you know, it was interesting to see something like that from the air, you know, that nobody else would be able to see, and just to see what the water, hang on a second. what the water, when the water does rise, what it looks like at the lake.
So how far, about how far did you fly from where you are at? And then how long does your battery last on one of those? And it only takes one battery at a time, correct?
Yeah, it takes one battery at a time. I was in the, what was the first question? You said, how far did I fly?
How far out did you fly from where you are at when you were at the Lake Somerville? And then how long of a battery did you have in that period of time?
Okay, yeah, the batteries last 30 minutes, and I have it in the settings where it'll start giving me a low battery warning when it's at about probably 20% or whatever. That gives me, you know, enough time to get back and land or whatever, and it'll tell me, you know, low battery warning, it's trying to land. I can actually cancel that out, and I can run the battery down to like 10% or whatever, but as long as I got, you know, a few percentage marks or whatever, I can still land it. It'll just keep beeping or whatever. And if I remember correctly, I probably flew, I don't know, maybe 3/4 of a mile from where I was standing. It might have been a little bit further. I didn't really pay that close attention, but I was really shocked how far the tip of Rocky Creek Park went out into the lake or whatever, because it goes a little bit further than Yewall. It has like a, I call it like a leg on the north end of it. And so, you know, I flew there, and then I could tell, you know, I was not per se, I was kind of losing a little signal, but it was having a hard time connecting. So I kind of just kind of backed off. And then I backed myself off to get a little bit better signal, because it looked on the app that I have on my iPad, it'll tell me how much signal I have, how much battery. And then, so then I just sat there and had it hovering in one position. And then I just kind of, you know, I kind of looked left to right or whatever, and just to see what, you know, what everything is. Cause I mean, you get a pretty good, when you got it in, no matter if you got it in, you know, when you got it in video, you get a pretty good picture there. You know what, it's, I wouldn't say a super wide angle lens, but it gives you a pretty good, you know, perspective of what you're looking at or whatever. So,
I've heard, and when I looked up, like, I've always wanted a drone, but by the time I get the darn thing up in the air, it only, like, you can only run the battery for 20, 30 minutes by the time I get in the air, and it, I don't know, it just frustrates me, because, like I said, by the time I get in the air and it, and figure it out, the battery's dead, so I have to recharge it. But anyway, so when I was looking up when I wanted one, on a couple of the DJIs, it said that when you go out and the battery starts getting low, like you said, you know, 10%, does yours have it where if it gets to a low point where it'll come back to you automatically?
Not so much at a low point, but if it loses signal, yes, it will. If it loses connection, and it operates, mine operates on, I think it's 2.4 gigahertz, which is kind of in the same range as Wi-Fi, so I will get, if I'm in town somewhere flying or whatever, I will get, you know, I'll get an interference thing flash on my screen from Wi-Fi. Now, all the ones that are kind of above mine, you have the option of going from 2.8 up to, I think it's 5.4. Well, then, you know, you shouldn't have any interference at all at 5.4, because there ain't a whole lot up there on, you know, signal wise. But yeah, it's so, you know, if it does lose connection or whatever, the drone will actually, it'll give you a warning sign saying, you know, lost signal, whatever. So it'll stop, it'll turn around, it'll try to reconnect, which it normally does. And then you can actually cancel that out and then, you know, go fly a different direction or whatever. And after you've flown them, you know, a few times or whatever, you kind of learn the max limits to push it to or whatever. It also, in my opinion, it also depends on terrain and trees. It's also, to me, it's kind of a lot of line of sight. So, you know, if you could see, you know, if you're standing on the ground and you can see, say, a tree, say, because a mile is what, 5,280 feet, I believe. If you could see a tree, you know, from 3/4 of a mile away or whatever, it's a good chance that you can fly that drone over there. They want you to keep on drones, they want you to keep a visual line of sight, which, you know, some people do, some people don't or whatever, but, you know, it's just one of those things or whatever. You try to maintain the visual line of sight, but, you know, sometimes, I mean, you know, on my app, it shows me where I'm at. So if I kind of lose my sense of direction, I just look on my app, and my app has a kind of like a picture in picture type thing, where if I tap on it, then it brings up the map of where I'm flying. So then I'll just turn the drone around, and where the little pointer is, it looks like a little, it should look like a pointer on your computer. And I'll just turn that pointer around and follow the line back the way I flew. And I learned that the hard way, because one day I was just totally lost. And then I said, hey, if I turn this thing around and do that pointer where that line is, I'll bring it back. So I kind of learned that there, that again, by trial and error. And that made it a lot simpler, because sometimes you do get turned around when you're flying.
Yeah. So let me see. What do you think? Let me say this way. What drone do you think is the best for photography?
Right now, I'd have to say it's the Mavic Air 2. That's the latest one that's out. It will take pictures up to 48 megapixels, I believe. Mine takes pictures up to, megabytes, I believe, or megapixels, whichever. But anyway, for 6 megabytes, that's a pretty good size picture. But then if I get into my Lightroom program or even editing on my iPad, I can adjust the picture or whatever. And I know that I just did a picture here the other day, and I made, just by doing different adjustments on it, the picture went from 6 megabytes to 1.5 megabytes. So, you know, it increased the resolution of the picture. But the Mavic Air 2, the one that they're currently out with, it's probably the one that's the best now with taking pictures at a high resolution.
Okay, so that one's the best for pictures. What do you think? Which one is it? Do you think it's the same for videoing?
I believe on video you're going to have the same thing, because on my end, I can adjust the settings in the video to go up to, I can't remember if it'll do, because I've never really messed with it that much. It will do, I think mine will do 4K video, and so will the Mavic Air 2, which is the newest one out. So on the, but then of course, the higher the resolution in video, the bigger the file is going to be, because I can actually, once I'm done with the picture, I can actually download it while I'm still flying. And of course, you know, the bigger the more the resolution, the longer it takes to download. And the video seems like it takes longer to download because it stores it on an SD card. Now, if I put the SD card in my laptop, well, then I can look at it right away. But if I want to put it like on Instagram or whatever else, then I actually have to download it. Since Instagram is a mobile program, then I have to download while the SD card is in the drone and everything is turned on. Then I download it to my iPad. So that takes a little longer because the file is bigger. But, you know, it's on video, it's kind of varies, you know, because you can adjust your video size to whatever, you know, if you want to just kind of plain Jane, you know, you can have that. Or if you want a really sharp looking video, you can bump your settings up a little.
Yeah. So do you really need an expensive drone to do drone photography?
I don't think you do. I mean, you know, I think you would see I think if you saw somebody's, you know, if you compare it, I'm sure, you know, there's people that got drones out better than mine or whatever, but I'm sure there'd be a little difference in quality or whatever. But, you know, if you know, my drone was $1,500, and if I go out and take a picture somewhere, sure, it, you know, it's going to look good. And then if somebody else comes along and takes that same picture, they're going to probably have a little bit better resolution. But, you know, there again, if you get, you know, with the program or whatever, you're still looking at the same picture. So it would just be, in my opinion, and there'd be a little difference in higher resolution or whatever, but you'd still see the same picture. It wouldn't be like mine would take a picture that'd be fuzzy or whatever else. So, you know, you'll still have the same picture. It's just a matter of a lot of times that you're post-editing that, you know, that changes the, you know, different colors or resolution or, you know, whatever else in it.
Yeah, that's true too. That's just like with taking a picture with the camera as well. So let me see. Do you need a license to fly a drone? If so, where can you get one?
Okay, if you are flying as a hobbyist, which is what I'm considered a hobbyist, you do not need a license, but you do need it registered because the FAA has a weight kind of lower limit, upper limit to where you have to have the drone registered. So anything that's basically 0.55 pounds up to 55 pounds has to be registered to the by the FAA. And if you think about it, 0.55 is like just a little over less than half, just a little bit above half a pound, where a 55 pound drone is. That's kind of their upper limit. They said, you know, you never find a drone heavier, because then I've been reading up and said that, you know, actually one like that could do harmful damage if it crashed or whatever. But to make a long story short, that's the upper limit and higher limit on the class, on the weight. And if it's above 0.55, yes, it does have to be registered by the FAA. And then you print out a little label, and they want it to wear, you know, on the drone somewhere. So if somebody would find it, they could just easily look at that identification on it, get on the site and find out who it belongs to. Now, if you want to be, if you want to use your drone commercially or to make money with it, whether it be in real estate or just taking your own pictures to sell them somewhere, then you need to be licensed, and that requires you to study what they call the, I call it the remote pilot license. It's a part 107 license that you study. You know, it's a thing that you start studying. It goes over airspace, regulations, operations or whatever, and it's pretty intense. You got to learn how to read sectional charts. Like if you look at a, you know, map of the Brenham Airport, it would show you a sectional chart and different things on there. And of course, you know, in your little towns, some places don't, you know, Brenham has an airport, but it does not have a air traffic controller. So it's considered, you know, you can, I could actually go fly out to Brenham Airport, and, you know, I just have to watch out for airplanes. But but yeah, like I said, if you're wanting to do, to make money with your drone, then you would need to be licensed, and you take a test. You got to go up to College Station, take a test. And it's like, I think the, just studying it is like, you know, you, the study questions are like 600 questions or something like that. But then out of those 600, they pull 60 questions, and then you have to have a passing grade of at least 70 or better to successfully get your license. And then you can, you know, then the sky's the limit on how much money you can make.
Yeah, you're right about the driving or flying in a by near an airport. Down when I was in, when I lived in Cyprus or Houston area, Cyprus, I got the DJI, one of the smaller ones. I can't remember the name of it, but my dad lived near a airport, and it was always flashing red and wouldn't let me fly. So I had to, right across the street from Cypress North Houston, I had to go over there to my grandparents' house to fly, and it was like 2 minutes away,
right?
Not even a mile. And it's funny how you can be at my dad's house and not be able to fly, but if you go not even a mile, like not even a half a mile, to my grandparents' house, and I was able to fly over there. You just gotta watch where you watch where the zones are, to make sure you don't, one, you don't get in trouble, and two, you're able to fly.
Right. And the app that you download to operate the drone, it's at the app is from, it's a DJI app. And once you download the app and get the updates or whatever, and you're somewhere and you're not for surely if you can fly there, it'll come up and tell you, you know, that you can, it'll give you different things and tell you, hey, if you, that you can't fly there, or it might, I have never seen it, but it might not even let you launch at all or whatever. And then,
no, it won't.
Right. And so it, cause, you know, like I know Easterwood Airport up in College Station, it's, I can't remember the class of airport it is, cause they all go by classes. Of course, your class A is your biggest airports, and then your class G is your smallest. Brenham is a class G airspace, which means, you know, you can fly out there, just, you know, be careful, watch for airplanes or whatever. And then you, like I said, if you look at, when you're on the DJI app, you tap on the map and the map comes up, and then you can, it'll, you know, if you're around a big airport, it'll show you where the, it'll, it's usually, I think, 5 nautical miles around the airport or whatever, but it'll give you, you know, it'll even say, hey, you can launch here, but just be careful of your surroundings, you know, kind of, you know, it's kind of like having your head on a swivel. They don't always tell you, say, look left to right, but look in a, you know, kind of look in one corner for briefly, then look in another corner. But you're always kind of listening when you're flying. You're always kind of listening for airplanes or whatever. And I used to get paranoid when I heard an airplane. Oh, and there's an airplane coming, but now I kind of look where the airplane is, and I know that they can't believe be below 400. I mean, I've seen some, I think, were below 400, but and just, you know, it always tells you to give right away to the manned aircraft, which is considered airplane. Mine's considered unmanned, and just give way to the airplane or whatever. And never really had any close calls. I'd be flying somewhere, and I'd be listening and kind of looking, and I'd see one, and I'd say, oh, well, he's going opposite way, I'm good, you know. So now if he was coming my way, I can come down, you know. If I was at, say, 300 feet or whatever, we still got 100 feet difference, but I could still come down pretty quick, because on my remote control, when I push the left joystick, when I push it down, I've tried it, and on usually I can get it on, if I want to come down really fast, I push it all the way down, and it usually comes down on the average of 5 feet. Can't remember if it said a second or a minute. No, it wouldn't be a minute. So you can get them where they come down pretty fast.
Yeah. So what do you use to edit your photos?
If I want to do them and put them on Facebook, or sometimes I put them on a website, Flickr. I do use Lightroom because I actually figured out how to put my copyright information just to where it's barely visible in the lower left-hand corner. That way, you know, because to me, I've seen some people put copyrights in it right through the middle of the picture. And to me, that's annoying. You know, people want to see the picture, not the copyright. So I do on my computer. I do it on with a program called Lightroom CC. And then if it's on my iPad, I do it with the editor within the iPad. Although I do have Lightroom on my iPhone, but I don't, you know, that to me, it just, then all my pictures are there, where at least on my iPad, it's just my drone pictures or whatever. But like I said, on my laptop, I use Lightroom, and then on my iPad, I use the editor within the iPad. And in my opinion, that editor is pretty strong. It's pretty powerful, because it's, first time I started messing with it, I was like, whoa, I didn't know all these features were there. And I'm pretty impressed with, you know, the editing feature in it.
Yeah, Lightroom is very good. That's what I use for my when I take photos. Before you go out to fly your drone and take pictures, what do you look for? Like a certain spot you want to fly at, or, you know, do you Google it, Google Maps or anything like that?
Not really. I just, when I'm driving, I'll just, you know, I'll be driving, and if I see something that I think would be a neat picture, you know, I'll go there whenever I got time or whatever. And just, just recently I knew it was there for the longest, just never thought nothing about it. But I just took a picture recently. I had the drone hovering above water, but there's a little, I call it a fountain, but it's actually called an aerator down at Holt Park here in town. And I took a picture of that. I was like 2 foot above the water, and my drone will actually do multiple shots. I can put it in a mode to where it'll do like seven pictures in, what is it, 5 seconds or something like that. But then you can also do more or whatever. So then if you do that, then, you know, you can then, you put them on your laptop, then you can see the different pictures it took, and kind of, you know, it's like, okay, I'll look between pictures and say, well, this one might be pretty good, but then, you know, usually you'll see, you know, different things or whatever. But I just, you know, look for neat things to do. Right now I've been trying to, excuse me, get one. I want to get one of a train coming through Brenham, and they got the real bright halogen or whatever headlights on a train, and I'm trying to get one when it's coming, if it's coming from the north, because I want to get one. I'd like to get one of a picture of it when the train's passing underneath that railroad overpass there on off of it's out in the country, or either here in town when it's passing there by where the Sealy mattress plant is. And a few days I went over there and I sat there for 30 minutes and didn't see a train, and I got home, here comes a train coming. So it's a lot of timing involved, you know, and just whatever I think would be a neat picture.
Yeah, it's got to be perfect timing. I'm the same way. I like to take pictures. There's one off of 21 by the Brazos, or at the Brazos. And I like to go over there and take pictures. And sometimes I'll get a train coming through. Sometimes I won't. Sometimes you have to wait. It's just a waiting game, really.
And I've actually been trying to get a video of when those turbine blades come through Brenham or whatever. I've told, there's a lady who lives out 30 south of Brenham, and I told her, hey, if there's ever a train coming through Brenham after 3:30 that has those blades on it, let me know. And one day I just had got off of work, but that was one day I didn't have my drone with me, and by the time I got there, so I just did a live Facebook thing with my phone or whatever. But I'd like to get if I'd ever see those blades coming through Brenham, is get my drone up and just sit there and hover and just, you know, because them blades are just fascinating. I mean, them things are, I don't know how long they are, but, you know, they're pretty fascinating to see those or whatever. And just, you know, just something I think is neat.
Yeah. So do you have a checklist when you go out before you fly your drone? If so, can you go over your checklist?
Like in equipment or what?
I guess you can say, like, you know, if there's a checklist where, okay, my batteries are charged, my drone is, I think y'all would, but y'all go over before y'all fly, y'all look over y'all's drone to make everything sure everything's, like, you know, none of the blades are bent or anything like
I do that from time to time, because the housing, the body of the drone is actually plastic or whatever, and so, you know, if you would crash it pretty good, it would break up, which I've crashed a drone before, I'll admit it. But from time to time I look at the blades, don't really have any problems unless you'd hit something or whatever. But the Phantom series has been known to have get stress fractures in the arm or whatever, and I check that out from time to time. And you know, if I know that I'm thinking about my go flying or whatever, I try to have my, you know, batteries charged up, because once you charge the batteries up, they'll last. They stay charged up for a pretty good while. They do discharge over a period of time or whatever. But you know, I just try to, you know, and I don't, you know, some days I just leave the drone in the house, and, you know, and then some days before I leave for work, I put it in here just in case I get, you know, say, hey, I'm going to go
antsy.
Something to do after work and, you know, relax or whatever. But I usually try to keep them charged. And, you know, sometimes I've even had it where I forgot to charge the iPad. So I just take it to work and hide in another room somewhere and charge it. And I get off of work, the iPad's charged or whatever. But, you know, don't really, you know, I just usually try to remember to charge them the night before, at least one or two batteries. I have four, but in each battery lasts 30 minutes. And, but I usually, you know, one or two, because if I have two batteries, that'll be an hour of flying and whatever. So take something really pretty interesting to be up in the air an hour or so.
Yeah. Let me see. Okay. What do you think that has improved in your drone photography, and what do you think still needs to be improved?
Oh, what do I think has improved? I've learned about the exposure value. I can be sitting there and I'll, because in automatic, it automatically senses the brightness or whatever and adjusts to that. But then in manual, you can actually adjust a whole bunch of different settings. Some of those settings I have never even gotten into, but I've noticed in the auto, I can, you know, adjust the exposure value to make the picture either lighter or darker or whatever. And so, you know, I can even do it to where I could be in broad daylight and make the picture look like I'm flying at nighttime. So that's what I found. That's pretty neat to do. But, just, you know, I'm sure there are some settings in there that I haven't played with. As a matter of fact, I know there is or whatever, but most of it, overall, I'm pretty pleased at what the pictures I've taken. And then, you know, found out, you know, you take a picture, and then once you get into the editing part, you can really, you can make it from what the, if you look at what you really took, and after you do your editing, I mean, it's like a totally different picture.
Yeah, that's true. It's just the same way with, like, for example, like I said before, when I take pictures with my camera and I go into the Lightroom, I mean, there's different ways. I'm still learning about photography. Yeah. There's always something to learn about photography and even about my camera. But when you go into the Lightroom, you know, you do something, you have your settings on your camera a different way than you did before, and you take the same picture, you're like, wow, that came out a little clearer than it did last time.
Yeah, and you know, you can, you know, and it's just amazing what you can do with a picture after you take it, you know, just doing adjustments on brightness, contrast. I mean, it's so many settings in there or whatever. I mean, you can, like anything else, I mean, you can make the picture look three times as good as what you took it or three times as worse than what you took it.
Exactly. So, all right. So you bought your drone brand new, right?
Well, the first one I bought was in when I turned 50. It was a Phantom 3 Standard, and I actually bought it used off the DJI website just to get a, you know, learn how to do them or whatever. And then a year later, I said, hey, it was time to upgrade, which I did. And then that's when I got the Phantom 4 Advanced or whatever. And that one was brand new or whatever. So if I do get another one, it more than likely be another brand new one, unless I just find a really good deal on a refurbished one, which, you know, for example, DJI, you know, if they have refurbished models, they go through them from top to bottom and, you know, and whatever. And they just don't have somebody send them in and they resell them. They go through them and, you know, do all kinds of checking on them. And I'm sure they have a checklist to check on different things or whatever. But yeah, if you get a refurbished one through DJI, you're getting good quality, because they're definitely the leaders and, you know, in the manufacturing part.
So, well, that brings me to my next question. So for a person like me, I don't have a drone. I've flown a couple times, but let's say I'm wanting to buy a drone, but I don't know if I should buy a used one or a new one, like the kind that you have. So what do you recommend on somebody like me going out to buy a drone, a used, or what route do you think I should go, the used way, or, you know, go to Best Buy and buy a new one?
It just depends to me. You know, if you've never flown one, if it was me, I'd begin, you know, and just starting out, I would get a refurbished one to, that way you could learn. Cause I mean, DJI does offer insurance. If something happens, they will replace them for free. But you know, if it'd be somebody starting out, if they've had remote control airplanes before, but you know, everybody says a drone's a little different to fly than a remote control airplane. But I would, if it was me, I would, in first starting out, I'd look for a good used one, you know, that's refurbished and get to learn how it operates and whatever else. And, you know, you can always sell, of course, you know, after you buy it, I mean, they kind of depreciate in value just like anything else. I mean, you're not going to get, if you try to sell, you're not going to get, you know, sell it a year later from when you bought it. You're not going to get the brand new price for it, but yeah, they hold their value pretty well. But yeah, I would, if it was somebody first time, want to say, hey, I'm going to drone and see what it's like, I wouldn't hesitate to go refurbished model or, you know, whatever. And then after you learn how to do it, then get your new one. And that way, you know, you kind of know kind of the ins and outs of them a little bit more than, you know, because if I would have bought a brand new one from the start or whatever, I'd have been really hesitant. But I still was hesitant when I bought a refurbished one the first time.
Yeah. So I guess my last question, do you have any tips on anyone that is thinking about starting doing drone? And it's not just, well, drone for wants to do drone photography, or that somebody that's been doing it for a, I don't know, a couple weeks and still trying to figure it out. Do you have any tips for them?
If you're just starting out, I mean, you can. There's tons of videos on YouTube how to get started. Read online, you know, and whatever. You know, get into a if you get one, just get into an open area. You know, you can. I mean, there's plenty of people who have one that'll be happy to show you. You know, hey, start out. You know, start out slow or whatever. Because my old saying is, you can walk before you can run, and that's the way, same way I was when I got to my drones. I started out slow, and you know, just you know, little by little. Every, you know, learn something new every time, push it a little bit further, and then, you know, and then you, as you're doing it every time, you learn from what you did the last time, and you might make a mistake, but you know, hey, that's how you learn from your mistakes, and you just, keep, you know, it's a constant learning process or whatever with them. And, you know, I'm sure there's some people that learn every day, something new or whatever. And, you know, like I said, reading up about them, watching YouTube videos, because you can Google your you can look on YouTube or even you know, for your model, and there's people put videos on there, what to do, what not to do. So you know, like we said earlier, YouTube's a hell of a useful tool.
Yes, yes, it is. That's honestly, before I bought my camera, I would YouTube the, you know, I would look, actually I would look to see what was on sale. And I got the Rebel T6, like a package deal with the two lenses and the body. But I would YouTube it before I bought it, and I tried to, okay, this is the right way to go. YouTube, you know, YouTube, just about every day until I got sick of watching. I'm like, okay, this is the way I want to go. YouTube is fantastic for if anybody that wants to learn before they buy it, learn. Basically, I guess you can say learn before you buy it, so you're not going in there, you know, blindfolded.
Yeah, like I said, you can watch YouTube videos, but you know, it's, if you don't have the drone in your hands, then you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, I'm, you know, you're watching it or whatever. But to me, you know, then again, you, if you have your drone, you watch your YouTube video, and then you could, you know, you can always watch a little bit of it and then test it out or whatever, and then you know, get to a point, pause it, and whatever. So. You know, sometimes your hands-on experience is having it in your hands and trying to fly it is your best experience. Okay, what does this do? Because that thing, unless, you know, because when you get a drone, you have to set a home point on it. It automatically does it. It connects with the GPS satellites, and it'll tell you through the iPad speaker. It says your home point has been set. It'll have a little, I think it's a green dot on there. And it'll set a home point. So that means if something happens, it loses signal, it's going to come back. It's going to come kind of like a boomerang. It's going to come back to you. But I mean, you can just let it sit there, you know, and you can let it sit there for 30 minutes. And then if it's going to, it runs out of battery or runs low on battery, it's automatically going to land right where that home point is or whatever. And that's the importance about setting the home point on a drone is for that purpose or whatever. But, it'll, you know, that first time when I did mine, I sat there and watched it, and I mean, just was fascinated what it could do. I had it hovering about 10 foot, and you know, especially in the summertime, they're a pretty good fan in the summertime. If it's hot and humid outside, just go launch your drone, and the air that it's pushing downwards, oh man, I tell you one thing, that's better than air conditioning. And, right. But you know, you can sit there and let it hover and play with this setting, play with that setting or whatever. Because like I said, you could sit there and watch that YouTube video and say, okay, well this, but then, you know, you don't have the drone in your hand. So then when you get to the, if you do get your drone, you know, you'd have to think about what you watch. So, you know, it's kind of 50-50, you know, watch the YouTube videos and maybe take notes. But then again, get your drone and just, you know, learn how to launch it, let it sit there, learn how to make it turn, because you're going to turn your, you got two little joysticks on the thing. One makes it go up and down. Another one makes it turn left. And one makes it turn right. And then, you know, and you just sit there and you just, you know, you get familiar with the controls. And I used to sit there when I first got mine, when I was flying, I'd sit there, I'd be looking at my controls. My head was constantly going up and down, looking at my drone, looking at my controls. And now I've gotten so used to it that I don't even look at the controls no more. I'm watching the drone the whole time, but my left hand is either making it go up or down. I might glance at them real quick or whatever, but I've noticed, you know, over a period of time that your hand-eye coordination gets better, so you can know what your left hand's doing to see what the drone's doing, and you don't even look at the control, you know, the controller per se. You might look at your screen or whatever to see what's up there, but you know, you don't even look at the controller after a period of time. You get some experience behind your belt, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, Mr. Brian, I do appreciate you coming on the show. Do you have any Facebook or Instagram, or you said you're on YouTube, or any website that if any of the audience wants to go out and see any of your videos or your pictures, where they can go out?
All the ones that you mentioned. I don't have a website or anything. I have a Facebook page, and I got an Instagram account. I have uploaded some to a website called Flickr, FLICKR. And when I first started, you know, I found out that the picture quality on Flickr was much better than Facebook, and I uploaded a few pictures there or whatever. But you know, done that or whatever. I have even sent pictures to Channel 2 in Houston. They got an app that you can send pictures to, and several of my weather pictures or whatever have been, or pictures in general, have been put on the either. Most of the time, I send them into the 10 p.m. news, and I've had people that just they were watching 10 p.m. news because your name is on there, and they say, hey, you know, and a lot of them, you know, and some of the pictures you can see on there were taken with a drone or whatever. And I even had the news people one night. I took a picture of something, and I said I had I was in my backyard. I was watching a thunderstorm in, I think it was in Grimes County, and I put on in the comments before I sent the picture, I said I had my drone up at 250 feet watching this thunderstorm cell, and the anchor of the news said, man, I ain't never seen a 250-foot tall drone. And I kind of laughed at that one. And the weatherman said, I don't think he has a 250-foot drone. And the guy said, yeah, I know. He said he was up at 250-foot, but he said it did sound pretty good, though, didn't it? But yeah,
right.
250-foot tall drone, that'd be a heck of a drone. But that was pretty neat to see, you know, I could see it from my backyard, but, you know, up at 250 feet, it looked even better.
Yeah, I bet it did. So, well, thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for talking to me.
Hope if anybody needs any, you know, tips or whatever, feel free to message me or send me a friend request. I'll, you know, try to help them the best I can. I'm not an expert by far. I mean, you know, there's some people that know more than me. I'm sure there's a lot of people that know less than me, but I've just, you know, learned it by trial and error and have a lot of fun. But if people ask questions, I don't mind trying to help them, because, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I have always wanted to learn how to fly a drone. In talking to Brian, I have learned a lot about them. I hope everyone that is listening learns something new today as well. Well, like always, I want to leave you with a quote. Which of my photos is my favorite? The one I'm going to take tomorrow. For this month's challenge, I want you to try something new. Try something you always wanted to try but too scared to do. Instead of doing landscape, go try doing a portrait with someone. Don't be afraid of getting out of your comfort zone. It's hard sometimes, but when you do, you'll be glad you did it. Don't forget to subscribe. And like always, thank you for listening and tuning in to the No Filter Photography Podcast. I'll see y'all next time.